Mark chapter 6. Jesus' job was to both make stuff for people. If you think about that, Jesus making stuff for people who made the world. And the reason was because his dad died and he took over the family business. He became the man of the household. And so he made stuff for people and he was also taking care of his mom and his brothers and sisters. Here we have a list and it's at least 8 mouths to feed. 8 mouths to feed pretty early in his life, likely. And he came from Nazareth. I want to note that Nazareth is only about a town of 500. So imagine Joseph comes from Nazareth. He leaves Nazareth to go to Bethlehem and then eventually Egypt. Egypt back to Bethlehem and then back to Nazareth. So what happens in a small town? You kind of marry with your neighbors, right? So you know everybody. And everybody is at least a relative or a friend of a relative. Very close. And so these people know Jesus. And the striking thing is that they are just shocked by what he's doing. They're shocked. They are affronted by what he's doing. Where did he get these things? Now, you see the disciples. The disciples are doing the normal track. The disciples found a rabbi and they started following a rabbi. But Jesus is a carpenter and he is spending most of his days in manual labor, blue-collar work. Where does he have the time to come up with these stories, to come up with these teachings? You were supposed to have a rabbi, and then, in addition to not having a rabbi that he taught from, it says here, the people were all so amazed, they asked each other, what is this, a new teaching? And with authority, he even gives orders to impure spirits, and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of the Galilee. I would even venture to say that Jesus grew up in a religiously hostile environment. So, and if this is the book of Revelations, I might even say this is a false church. And here's the reason. He says this in the next chapter. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So when they were doing this, they were just talking about each other. They were talking about more rabbis. They were not talking about the scripture. The scripture was layers below, and they would describe the debates between the rabbis. They have let go. This is verse 8 of chapter 7. They have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Now, Jesus had a full-time job to support 6 siblings and his mother. He didn't have the time, they thought, to really come up with this kind of wisdom. Listen to the Apostle Paul out of 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. So let me read that again. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. This is Jesus. To mind your own business and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent upon anybody. So he lived a very ordinary life. The only extraordinary thing we have in his early years is he goes to the temple and he's in the temple and he's asking great questions and he's giving good answers. That's all. Other than that, he puts his head down and does what God has called him to do, which is care for his mom and his brothers and sisters and make stuff, fix people's plows, prepare their doors, build their houses. It's very ordinary. It's as I'm reading this and reflecting, I was like, wow, he really did live a very ordinary life for years. Now, there's something else though, and I thought about it. I was like, whoa. So Jesus goes and he's healing. He's healing people. And he's doing all sorts of stuff. He's casting out demons. Do you think that in a town of 500 for 18 years between the time he's 12 and the time he's 30, that someone broke their leg? You think someone got a fever? You think one of his relatives, his own dad, died? And then suddenly he's healing people? If you're one of the brothers, I could see it. I could see being offended. Why didn't you do that miracle for dad? So they were offended at his humble beginnings. He had this thing, and you see it at the wedding of Cana of Galilee. He's at the wedding and his mom comes up to him and says, "Hey, look, they're out of wine." And what's he say? Do you remember? He says, "It's not, my hour has not yet come." And he had this thing about timing. We were in Bible study on Thursday and two Greeks show up to talk to Jesus. And he's like, it's like something clicked. And he goes, the hour has come. It's straight to the cross. So he has a timing from the Father, and a lot of people got past I. But now he's in ministry, and now he's doing it. And they're offended. They were offended at his humble upbringing, his humble attire, his humble attitude, his lack of academic credentials. He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to Yale. This is Emmanuel's story from the manger, right, all the way to the cross. He's killed between two thieves. What did you want to be when you grow up? So I wanted to be a fighter pilot. Anybody there with me? Fighter pilots? Any would-be fighter pilots? There you go. A show of hands. Put your hands up for this. If anybody is right now doing the job you wanted to do when you were 12, raise your hands. Okay, we got a few. A soccer coach, of course. That's pretty awesome, David. But most of us didn't. Most of us, we had a dream and it was derailed. The scripture says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines your steps. July 15th, which was just a few days ago, 1993, my wife and I, Sherry, came up here to go to seminary at Gordon-Conwell, and we did. We went to seminary for 2 years. UPS was offering tuition reimbursements, so I worked morning shift from 3 in the morning until 8. They paid tuition, which was awesome, but I went into debt because we had living expenses. So at some point in time, between counseling with the pastor, it was decided that I was going to have too much debt to really be supported on a pastor's salary. And so opening came at UPS, and I jumped on it because I thought it was the right thing to do. So the question is, did I waste the last 30 years? I do plan, by the way, the end of the story is, or around the corner in 6 months, I might retire. I probably will, Lord willing, let it be so, pray for me, that I retire from UPS at 32 years at UPS and get a pension. And that's going to provide for me to go back to school, finish what I started, and who knows what after that. But did I waste my time? And the answer, of course, is no. Was Jesus' time wasted between 12 and 30? The answer is no, right? Are you doing the work of God? Might not be what you wanted to do. I'm there with you. I think Jesus is there with you because he had to take care of mom. He had to take care of the kids. Joseph is right there with you. Joseph, back in the Old Testament, I think he probably wanted to be a shepherd just like his dad because he loved his dad. His dad loved him, but he got to be a slave instead. And after being a slave, he got to be a household administrator. After that, he got to be a prisoner, surprise turn. And then he gets to be a dream interpreter. And then he gets a minister of the prison. Then he gets to be a dream interpreter. And finally, he gets to be the ruler of Egypt. God is at work the whole way through, advancing his kingdom just as much when you're sawing wood or delivering packages or kicking with soccer balls or whatever you're doing. God is at work through you if you are willing. It says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not only to please them while they're watching, but with sincerity of heart and fear of the Lord. Whatever you do, work it out with your whole being, as for the Lord, not for men, because you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as your reward. It is the Lord Christ, your servant. I had decided to go back to UPS, to work for UPS full-time. I had 30 days. You have to have no accidents, no injury. I don't think you have an injury even. And you have to have no tickets. 30 days. So sounds easy, right? So day 26, I'm on Route 1, and I'm trying to get on the northbound side in Saugus, and there's about a 50-foot entrance ramp to go 50 miles an hour. You probably all know it. And so this woman looks back, cranes her head backward, and sees an opening, and she presses the gas. She's on her way. I turn around, look, I see an opening. I press the gas. She's gone 10 feet and stopped. And I smash into the back of her car. Immediately, tears start coming down my face. The whole time, I'm filling out the accident reports. Tears are just going down my face. I go over to a park, and I open up my Bible, and I read a Habakkuk. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail, and the fields produce no food, and though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. So by union math, God answered my prayers. I had a baby. I actually had that baby right over there. Raise your hand, Daniel. I had him. So I started working, was on family leave. By the time I got back, the supervisor was doing something else. Every day I worked for UPS after that start day counted toward safe driving, even though I was not on the road. So God be praised. My dad was not a good man. So he did not have a full-time job. He kind of depended on the governments to feed us. And he was a junk man. So I lived on a junkyard kind of growing up. And he wasn't a good husband, and he wasn't a good father. And I, by God's grace and his love for me, I've broken that cycle and been, you know, 32 years UPS, and also tried to be a good husband and a father. So it's all gravy. I mean, after salvation, whatever you receive is gravy, right? I mean, whatever you receive after salvation is just gravy. It's all good. So praise God for what he's done. So I asked the question, the people who are sort of looking at Jesus askance asked the question, where did he get his teaching? And I want to tell you that boredom and silence are really fruitful fields. I don't know if you've ever had long times of boredom and silence, but they can really get your mind going. And I know it's a smartphone era and you barely have time to think, but I highly recommend boredom and silence, because as I'm driving my truck, and I think as Jesus was pounding his nails or doing whatever with his wood, he was meditating on the word of God, ruminating, praying, worshiping. There's a lot you can do when your hands are moving, but your mind is available to speak to God and talk to God and to be open to God and his word. Listen to this word. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I felt that confirmation many, many times throughout my years at UPS. And Jesus also heard that voice when he was doing the right thing for his mom and his brothers and sisters and for the legacy of his earthly father. He did a lifetime of good works. And you know, a lot of times we focus on the cross, but the salvation that comes to us is not just about the cross. If it was only the cross, you would have a blank slate. And guess what you would have tomorrow? You'd have a rap sheet again, right? You'd have problems. You'd have sins. So he doesn't just give you forgiveness at the cross. He gives you his perfect, righteous life. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a picture in Zechariah where the Lord sees a priest, the high priest, and he says, take off that filthy robe and put on him a white robe. That white robe is put onto all of us. That is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Before, when he was a child obeying his mom and dad, when he was a carpenter and caring for his mother and his siblings, and when he was going around spreading the gospel, and when he was on the cross obeying his father's instructions. So let me encourage you that, like Jeremy says every week, all your sins are forgiven, even the sins that you commit when you're at work. Thank you, Father, for your work in my life. Thank you so much for that day at the park. And thank you so much for even enabling me to speak today. And thank you so much for your great kindness to us in Jesus. And pray this season in his name. Amen.